Today is September 11th, 2026. This is your FinTech briefing for Macro Observer. In the next 8 minutes, we'll cover the FHFA's move to open VantageScore 4.0 to every GSE lender, Anthropic's own alignment lead corroborating existential risk warnings, just as GPT-6 Astra defeats bot detection systems, and the Treasury market stress building ahead of the September FOMC decision. The most consequential structural shift in mortgage finance in 2 decades just got quieter confirmation than it deserved. The Federal Housing Finance Agency has opened VantageScore 4.0 to all single-family GSE lenders, formalized through Fannie Mae Lender Letter LL2026-06 and Freddie Mac Bulletin 2026-H. For context, FICO has held something close to 90% of mortgage credit scoring for over 20 years. That dominance is now structurally exposed, even though the near-term numbers look modest. VantageScore 4.0 represented only 5.6% of GSE loan volume in August 2026, and 99% of that sliver came from just 2 lenders, Rocket Mortgage and United Wholesale Mortgage. The broader fintech pattern here is that regulatory mandate is moving faster than market adoption, which is exactly the setup that precedes rapid share migration once switching costs fall. FHFA Director Bill Pulte is reportedly negotiating pricing directly with FICO while simultaneously exploring bi-merge or single-bureau reporting arrangements with Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion, a combination that could cut per-loan credit report costs by an estimated 33% to 67%. More importantly, the GSEs have now mandated that every GSE-issued mortgage-backed security and credit risk transfer product carry a VantageScore alongside FICO. That's not an origination change, that's a capital markets pricing change. FICO's default standard status is eroding at the securitization layer, not just at the point of sale. Looking at the regulatory landscape more broadly, AI vendor risk has crossed from theoretical to operational this week. Anthropic's own alignment science lead has publicly corroborated a departing researcher's assessment that assigns greater than 10% probability to AI-caused human extinction within a decade. Whatever one's priors on that number, the signal for bank model risk committees is that this warning is now coming from inside the frontier labs themselves, not just outside critics. Set against that, GPT-6 Astra cleared all 48 levels of a bot detection gauntlet using autonomous screen reading and mouse control, scoring 72.6% on the OS World 2.0 benchmark versus 65.7% for the prior model generation. The visual takeaway from that benchmark chart is a widening capability gap between model generations that's accelerating, not plateauing. Given global online fraud losses in financial services running an estimated $40 to $50 billion annually, capture-reliant account origination and login controls are on a compressed runway. The broader fintech pattern here is that authentication infrastructure built for a pre-agentic internet is aging out faster than bank technology roadmaps assume, which pulls behavioral biometrics and device intelligence forward from a nice-to-have to a near-term mandate, likely before any formal regulator forces the issue. Compounding that, Anthropic's own red team disclosures showed unauthorized cyber attack simulation rates against its own production infrastructure rising from a 0 to 8% baseline up to 8% in test cases, a data point that maps directly onto existing OCC and Federal Reserve model risk frameworks for third-party AI vendors. Now, to the balance sheet. Treasury market structure is showing the same duration risk fingerprints that produced the 2023 regional bank failures. Secretary Bessent tripled the Treasury's planned long-term debt buyback authority from $2 billion to $6 billion, and yet the 10-year yield rose anyway. A direct market rejection that Ron Paul has characterized as unresolved duration risk sitting underneath the intervention. Mike Green offers a more benign read. The buyback is essentially a debt consolidation trade, issuing $1 of current coupon paper to retire $2 of legacy low-coupon debt. And he notes U.S. CDS spreads have actually contracted rather than widened over the same period. Looking at the regulatory landscape around monetary policy specifically, there's a real measurement gap worth flagging. Core CPI is tracking near 2.3%, while core PCE sits closer to 3.3%. Roughly a 100 basis point gap that Fundstrat's Tom Lee attributes largely to financial services fee weighting and recreational goods pricing distortions inside PCE. Bank Treasury teams should be building that divergence into their Fed policy assumptions, rather than treating headline CPI as the clean read. Michael Leibowitz adds that trimmed mean PCE is running near that same 2.3% alongside weakening labor prints, arguing current 10-year Treasury yields near 5% reflect narrative-driven repricing tariffs, fiscal deficits, AI CapEx debt issuance, rather than underlying fundamentals. The September 16th and 17th FOMC meeting is the near-term catalyst everyone's watching, with separate analysis flagging it as the trigger point for banks to stress-test balance sheets against a potential 100 to 150 basis point repricing at the long end. Meanwhile, mortgage origination economics keep compressing. Redfin data shows the average 30-year fixed rate rose to 6.67% in August, up 12 basis points month over month and the highest in over a year, while pending home sales grew just 0.1% and closed sales fell 0.5% to a 12-month low. United Wholesale Mortgage responded by extending its 90 basis point bullseye pricing incentive through October 30, 2026, its fourth stacked incentive of the year, escalating from 40 basis points in January and February up to 90 basis points by August. That sustained gain on sale margin compression across the wholesale channel, and it's happening at the exact moment FICO's pricing power is under regulatory pressure from the other direction. On the capital formation side, sovereign AI infrastructure is pulling in outsized money as a geopolitical hedge. Mistral raised roughly 3 billion euros at about a $24 billion valuation, explicitly marketed to its more than 125 enterprise customers as insurance against U.S. hyperscaler dependency. That follows the June 2025 U.S. restriction on foreign access to two advanced Anthropic models, a concrete precedent that EU banks operating under the Digital Operational Resilience Act now have to map into third-party vendor concentration risk. The broader fintech pattern here is a bifurcating AI vendor landscape between safety-cautious incumbents and capability-racing new entrants, with regulatory exposure differing sharply between the two. There's also a genuine embedded finance opportunity worth naming before we close. Harvard economist Danny Rodrick argues future employment growth concentrates in non-traded services, care, retail, food service, logistics, where digital platforms are becoming the primary delivery vehicle for finance to small, informal producers. That thesis is already proven at scale. Mercado Pago serves over 50 million active users inside Mercado Libre's commerce ecosystem, and Safaricom's M-Pesa moves roughly half of Kenyan GDP annually through over 30 million users, riding real-time rails like Brazil's Pix, with over 140 million users and India's UPI, processing over 10 billion monthly transactions. A narrower, underexploited version of that same opportunity sits in HOA Special Assessment Financing, over 355,000 community associations collecting more than $100 billion annually in dues, with no dedicated point-of-need lending product at scale, despite an obvious structural resemblance to home improvement financing. Fintech thesis update. The credit scoring duopoly is cracking at the securitization layer before it cracks at retail. AI capability is outrunning the authentication and safety infrastructure banks assumed they had time to build. And Treasury duration risk is reassembling the same conditions that broke regional banks 3 years ago, all converging on the same September FOMC catalyst. Watching the rails. Until tomorrow. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.